Enjoyed the singing, the fervor. Well, it's been good to be here. It's good to see those of you here that have been gone a while, and our visitors, it's good to have you here with us this morning. I'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 34. The main verse I'd like to look at there is verse 8, but I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Psalm 34, verse 10, you might know these by heart. Why don't we all, those of you that can or want to, stand while we read this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You may be seated. So thinking about a little bit this morning about the reality of God. And it's been struck with that thought lately. And our view of God and our spiritual senses. You know, we read that verse, the psalmist says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is something we can relate to. Hebrews 11:6, it talks about without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we see the difference between faith and imagination. You know, imagination is projecting unreal images from the mind and trying to attach them to reality. That's not faith. Faith doesn't create anything. It simply believes. Tozer uses the word reckons. It believes on that which is already there. Faith believes in a world invisible to us. You know, why is it so easy to believe in a world that we can see and so hard to believe in something we can't see sometimes? If we think of that story in 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 17 there, where Elisha and his servant were there looking out. His servant went out in the morning and saw this huge army around him. And he said, you know, what are we going to do? And it looked so hopeless. It looked absolutely impossible. They were stuck. And Elisha asked God to open his eyes. And he saw chariots of fire, chariots completely surrounding them, protecting them. There's a story that's given by David Thompson. It took place in Cambodia in the early 1950s. To think about that, my father-in-law isn't here this morning, but you know he's 82, so he would have been, if I did my math right, he would have been 72 when this happened. I mean, he would have been 10 years old when this happened. I mean, 72 years ago. So this story happened in a few of the lifetimes of our people here. We got Frida here. It would have happened in her lifetime. And it happened in Cambodia in the early 1950s during the French Indochina War. The French troops were garrisoned in the city. It was at the capital. And one day the French commander got some secret information that a large force of rebels was going to attack the city of Snol, 80 kilometers away. It was where the rubber plantations were. And so he was confident that his information was correct. He loaded up the whole army and headed out there to save those rubber plantations. But it was a rebel trick. The actual plan was to attack the city of Crete right there. And they wanted this was a way to get the soldiers out of the city. And as dusk fell, as it got dark, the soldier came to the door of David Thompson's father, and he said, "Do you want to go to the hotel where we're going to be? We're going to hold out till fight to the end." And he said, "No." He said, "We're not. God's not going to take us before He's finished with us here. Before He's finished with what He sent us to do." And David Thompson, he said, remembers being under the bed with his sister while his parents were up praying. He said it's hard for them to pray because they were so fussy. About 2 a.m., a white flare lit the square and bullets started flying. Suddenly, a red flare shot up and burned briefly in the night sky. The shooting tapered off, and in the morning, there was no sign of the rebels. Nobody understood why the rebels had abandoned the attack. But the French commander returned later that day from Snell and was surprised to find the city intact. In 1955, French granted independence to Cambodia and returned the power there to the king of Cambodia. And the king promised amnesty to all the rebels who would turn in their guns and pledge allegiance to him. So on the given day, the rebels came flocking in, the piles of the guns and ammunition stacked high. And there were speeches and ceremonies all day. And towards the middle of the day, while the retiring French commander asked David Thomas's dad to translate for him while he spoke to the rebel commander. And after the introductions, the commander asked the rebel leader, "Why didn't you take the city the night we were diverted to Snell, leaving Crete defenseless?" And the rebel commander seemed surprised by the question. He remembered the night very well. He said, he told the French commander, he said, "You're mistaken." He said that it wasn't left defenseless. And they kept talking back and forth and kind of arguing about this night. They thought they were confused on it. And he said his dad, interpreting, only his dad understood what really happened that night. The rebel leader said that there was more French troops in that city than he had ever seen. And David Thomas's dad said that it was the army of the Lord that had saved us. God's angels had appeared as French soldiers in such great numbers that the rebels withdrew. So when we think of the reality of God, Dwight shared a message at the meetings, proper concept of God. It was a great message, you know, because it's so foundational in how we relate and how we walk in our Christian lives. You know, if we think of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven," and looking at the verses that we read, "Oh, taste and see." We think of God's interaction with man in the very beginning, walking through the garden, breathing fragrance over every scene. You know, it's just the pictures in our mind there, I think, it's just beautiful as we think of that. We think of other interactions of God with man. We have other verses that Psalm 48:8 says, "All thy garments smell of myrrh, aloes, and cassia, out of ivory palaces." So things that the senses there again, taste, smell, sight. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," Matthew 5:8. And Jesus says in John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." But because of sin, because of man's fallen nature, the ability to know God in this way lies dormant till the new birth, till regeneration brings back that relationship that we can have. And that's the beauty of the cross, what the cross does, what it brings. You know, we know God loves us. We know He created us. But many professing Christians know but don't feel. You know, I had a friend tell me a while back, I don't feel like God has me or wants me. How do you answer that? I think Hebrews has the answer in part anyway, or whole. And if we look at Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. You know, we know these stories. We know these characters. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Without faith, it says in verse 6, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, God is real in the absolute and the final sense that nothing else is. All other reality is contingent on His. The great reality is God. He is the author, the creator of all things. Those things that make up the sum of created things, including ourselves. You know, it's not imagination. Again, imagination takes unreal images and tries to attach reality to them. Faith creates nothing. It simply reaches out to that which is already there. Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What a beautiful promise that is to the child of God. Let's stand together for prayer.